Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 557, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Sharita Knobloch. Today is Monday, March 21st, 2016, and we are so glad you decided to stop by and hang out with us tonight.
We're having lots of fun over in our Twitter chat tonight, so if you're listening to our show live right now, join us. You can follow along at twitter.com/ArmyWife Network using hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at www.metlife.com/TRICARE. Or you can call 1-855-METTDP1.
We're excited. Coming up on the show tonight, we have Kit Jenkins from the Carrying On Project joining us. You can follow the Carrying On Project at Twitter at Carrying On P-R-O-J, on Instagram at Carrying On Project, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheCarryingOnProject. Or go directly to our website at www.carryingonproject.org. Also coming up is our relationship minute, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, we have some catching up to do. Hey, Sharita.
Hey, Crystal. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How about you?
Keep calm and soldier on. It's just another crazy Monday. A Monday that I was like, Mondays are usually my day to, like, kind of catch up, if that makes sense, even though it's right after the weekend. So it's, ideally, it's my day to stay home and do all the things, but I ran around like a crazy person today with just lots of appointments, and my kiddo went to, I call it school, but it's hourly daycare at CYSS because she's three now, and so I just did all the things and then ran home to get on the radio with you tonight.
Well, you usually have a lot going on in your corner of the world. So what's been up with you and your Army wife life lately?
Well, my mother-in-law, Lex, is coming on Friday night, and I'm super pumped because when we have guests in town, it makes deployments go super, super quick. And plus, I love having a pinch hitter just to help out and to have some extra energy and be like, of course, take my daughter to the park, give her a bath, put her to bed, all the things. I'm going to go over here and be a grown-up. But we're also trying to plan just a miniature kind of vacation while she's out here to go see the site before we PCS. And we've got a few months left, but so far we want to go whale watching. So we've got a whale watching trip planned to see the gray whales because it's not orca season yet. I got to see the orcas last year with my mom, and it was one of those things that you didn't know how awesome it was until you went. You know, if anyone ever asked, like,
right,
hey, would you like to go whale watching? You'd be like, whatever. And then I went. I was like, this is the best day of my life. I'm on the Discovery Channel. This is so cool. So hopefully we see some cool stuff there. And then we're also going to try to hit up the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival, not the tuna festival. I said that last night to my mom, tuna. Yeah. I was like, there's a big difference between tuna and tulip. So we're going to try
Some sounds kind of fishy there.
Yeah, so we're going to try to explore Whidbey Island a little bit because we haven't been there.
Okay.
So looking forward to that for sure. Absolutely. How was your, weren't you doing a staycation lately, I think? How did that go?
It was more stay than stay. we did take an afternoon trip to the train museum and temple, which was fun. My husband was working, so he didn't get to go, but that was nice. The kids enjoyed the trains, and I took pictures. I enjoyed the architecture and stuff, so that was fun. And then we took kind of an afternoon trip down to Austin to the state park there and walked around and had to make our appearance at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How do you pass that out?
What's your favorite cheesecake there? Do you get the same thing when you go, or do you, like, mix it up and live on the edge?
Well, I kind of lived on the edge this time. I usually kind of stick with the same thing. I'm a creature of habit. But I really like, I think it's called the Christmas cheesecake. But this time, oh, heavens, what did I get? I think it was raspberry lemon or something like that. I cannot remember. And I've had the tiramisu, but I think the Christmas cheesecake's my favorite. So do you have a favorite?
Sounds delicious. Well, I've been doing Whole30 for, like, I'm doing a whole 135, so I'm eating nothing but whole foods and nothing processed, no sugar, no processed carbs, whatever, for 135 days. And I'm on day 81 now. So thinking about cheesecake is a little counterproductive, and so really I probably would just, like, melt into a puddle on the floor if you gave me a piece of cheesecake now and, like, I had a bite. But I'm still working on the food boundaries that someday I will be able to eat two bites of cheesecake and be like, wow, that was delicious. I'm going to go ahead and walk away instead of be like, I'm going to eat all the things. So I don't know. Just plain cheesecake is my jam. Like, my husband, he is a cheesecake eater. He doesn't do much for sugar, but if he has a birthday or reenlistment or something, he's like, I want a cheesecake, and not the stuff from the box. That's his only high maintenance thing. He wants a made from scratch cheesecake, and I'm like, how about something from the commissary? Because that's what I got time for. Just asking.
Yeah, I'm not much of a cook myself. So now I admire you that you can go on that diet for 135 days because. My word is balance and modification because I cannot. I have such a terrible sweet tooth. How do you do it?
Well, a lot of prayer, first of all. And secondly, I've really just been struggling with, like, the eating thing. Like, it's not been, like, an eating disorder or anything, but it's just owned me. For my 30 years I've been on this planet, everything revolved around food. And so, you know, I very much had a sugar dragon and a carb dragon. When I would get stressed, angry, happy, sad, worried, depressed, lonely, like, I would eat. And so the way that, for me, Whole30 that has really worked, it's reinvented my relationship with food, that I eat to live now instead of live to eat. And so the freedom that I have with that I'm like, wow, this banana is so delicious. I can't even right now. It just gives me such freedom, and it's very empowering, I guess. This is the first time I've done something like this that I haven't felt deprived. You know, I can go to a potluck, and I'm not like, woe is me, my life is horrible. I'm like, I'm choosing not to do that because I know what it does to my brain, my emotions, my heart, my body, blah, blah, blah. It's definitely beyond me. Like, this is not my idea at all. Never in my life was like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and give up sugar and processed carbs and all things delicious and smothered, covered, breaded, and fried for, you know, 4.5 months. Like, this is not my idea.
Okay, you're making me so hungry.
I know. I haven't eaten supper yet. So I'm like, oh, I can't have any of this. We need to stop talking about this. Next subject. Moving on. What else are we talking about?
So you're in the middle of a PCS purge. Do you know where you're heading next?
Yeah, like this is the most motivated. And again, I go back to the Whole30 thing. Like, I have energy like I've never had in my life. Like, I used to shut down at 4:00 in the afternoon and be like, and we're done. The house better be on fire before I get up out of this chair. But now I have energy and I'm doing stuff. And so this is like the pre PCS purge. Like, we don't leave probably until, I think, like, the end of August. So we still have a hot minute. But PWC, which I'm the president of right now, Protestant Women of the Chapel, we're having a community-wide free swap meet a week from tomorrow. So everybody's like, clean out your closets. And I was like, heck yes, I'll clean out my closet. So this, like, I did the upstairs on Friday afternoon and got through all the closets because it was just, I had newborn baby clothes. My kid just turned 3. I had newborn baby clothes just shoved in crevices in my closet. So I was like, I'll put it in the tote later. Like, and it's finally taken over our house. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to organize. I'm going to do a shelf. And I cleaned the downstairs closet, which I don't know why I get this excited about. I hate cleaning. I hate it. It stresses me out. But when I get done, I'm like, oh, freedom, activity space, all the things out of my house. So I unpack boxes.
It's freeing,
like,
and you feel like you've accomplished something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I take pictures of it. So I'm like, look, we have, I cut this closet in half. Like, we have, you can actually walk in the closet downstairs now because I unpacked boxes from our last PCS that just said storage on it. So I was like, yeah, storage, whatever. So I never unpacked it until now, almost 3 years later since we got here. I was like, oh, that's where that really wonderful picture that I love is, or that's where that wedding gift that's supposed to go on the table is. So that was exciting. It was like a treasure hunt. And I got everything out of cardboard boxes, and now they're in Rubbermaid totes. So I feel like an adult. I just feel so grown up right now. It's a miracle.
Well, that's good. And then on top of all that, you're going to possibly run a half marathon?
Yeah, like, I'm debating. There's one literally right down the road, kind of. I mean, it's like, it's in Olympia, so it's less than 30 minutes from JBLM. I ran a full marathon in October, and I've already run 2 or 3 official half marathons and a few, like, just to train. So my if I do this, like, I'm training sort of right now, but my goal this time is not to be, like, PR or run really fast, even though I've never been fast. I make fast runners look good because I'm super slow. Like, they have those shirts that say slower than turtles in peanut butter. Like, that's how I run. You know, I'm like, this is barely above a shuffle, but I'm moving in a forward direction. So my goal now is not to stress myself out about it, because honestly, I used to put so much pressure on myself. Now I'm like, I wonder if I can run to, like, fill my soul, to, like, recharge, to just get the endorphins flowing, to feel good about me, and stop thinking about all the other things going on. And so far, it's really working. And again, my one word this year is truth, but I'm really wondering if there's, like, some freedom stuck in there, because everything I've been called to do this year has brought freedom with the boundaries that I put on my life or the expectations I put on myself. And I don't have it all figured out, but I feel like, I mean, shoot, it's only the middle of March, so I got time for 2016, but definitely making progress with that. So what else is going on with you?
Well, I was going to say, you're our new editor-in-chief.
I am. Yeah, talk about other things, and I'm like, sure,
so,
this is what I'm called to do. I'm going to go for a run so I can stop thinking about my email.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I'm
very blessed. Yeah,
so, but
it's exciting. Super pumped.
We've been kind of tossing around ideas for just building upon the already firm foundation that Tara and Star built, and that is AWN. And so I'm excited about what the future holds. And I had a talk with Tara today, and she's excited about it. So this is an exciting time to move forward and make AWN even better than before, if that's possible. So, well, at least to build upon it and continue the mission that AWN was built upon. So I appreciate you taking that on and coming on board to kind of be my right-hand lady.
I'm super excited. I'm super excited. It's definitely an honor and a privilege, and it's just something that really pumps me up. I'm excited and didn't see it coming, I guess. Talk about out of left field, and I'm like, oh, okay then. Let's go deeper. Let's go farther. Let's see what happens. So I'm very excited to walk with you in this and be your cheerleader and cheer on the core team, because our core team is awesome.
Awesome.
So cool. Yes. Hashtag awesome. Well, Joanne, are you getting that? Hashtag awesome. Core team is awesome. Don't miss that one.
Well, it's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be discussing some hot topics, so stay tuned.
Continue your education at an elite university committed to service members and their families. Drexel University offers active duty, veterans, and their family members a 10 to 40% tuition reduction for over 140 online degree programs. Get an inside look at what it's like to be part of the Drexel online community through a free digital test drive. Military family members will be able to experience online learning, explore student support services, and interact with Drexel faculty, staff, students, and alumni. Visit online.drexel.edu/family to sign up today.
If you're stationed away from home, how can your voice be heard? Get your absentee ballots on time wherever you are. Here's how. Go to fvap.gov and fill out your federal postcard application, or FPCA. Go to fvap.gov to get started.
Hot in our military news tonight, DOD plans benefit revision with blended retirement. Upon taking office almost a year ago, Defense Secretary Ash Carter promised reform, saying that a blended retirement system is a key step in modernizing the department's ability to recruit, retain, and maintain the talent we require of our future force. An overhaul of the current military retirement system is slated to take effect January 1, 2018. The new system has three elements: a 401k style component with the Defense Department matching funds for entry-level and other service members, a mid-career continuity bonus, and a retirement annuity similar to the one now in place for service members that complete 20 or more years of eligible service. You can read more at defense.gov and locate their news article, DOD Plans Benefit Revision with Blended Retirement, or click on the link that we'll be posting shortly in our Twitter feed.
As for what's hot on AWN this week, imagine this. Payday is 3 days out, and the weird cans are all that's left in your pantry. You know what we're talking about, the ones that you generously bequeath to friends when PCS time rolls around. One can is something cream of that you got from your neighbor when she left for Germany. And then there's a whole batch of random assorted liquids that Uncle Sam just won't pack. And let's not forget the three partial boxes of pasta. What do you do with that? Well, great news. AWN expert, HH6 blog contributor, Aaron Parento, shares with us a great blog post, Mess Hall, The Anatomy of a Casserole. Check it out at www.armywifenetwork.com/messhall, The Anatomy of a Casserole.
And hot in our social media roundup this week, we asked, how would you describe your life right now? The most common answers were busy, but blessed. How about you? What's going on in your Army wife, mill spouse life? Share with us. We'll be posting a link to that conversation in our Twitter feed. Be sure to check out both our Facebook and Twitter pages for more fun conversations, and be sure to join in.
Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show, and we ask them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. While April showers might bring May flowers, the fourth month of the year also brings tax time. The Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, provided through the Armed Forces Tax Council, provides coordinators for the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. These specialists are trained to address military-specific tax issues like combat zone benefits and applying earned income credit guidelines. These coordinators oversee the operation of military tax programs worldwide and serve as the main International Revenue Service outreach for military personnel and their families. Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Offices and Military OneSource offer free tax consultation and electronic filing to eligible service members and their families. Visit your installation's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance or Legal Assistance Office to have your income taxes completed free or to seek assistance with finding the closest Volunteer Income Tax Assistance site to you. Your Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Office professionals can provide tax counseling face-to-face or while you complete your tax returns via Military OneSource's self-paced tax filing and preparation software. Military members, including retirees, are eligible to receive free tax consultation and preparation through the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance locations. Eligibility for Military OneSource tax services does not include retirees, except for during the first 190 days after separation. For more information, visit www.militaryonesource.mil/financial and legal to check out this opportunity. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is AWN's New 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know news stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Army has announced multiple deployments to the Middle East, Korea, and Europe. Almost 2,000 soldiers from 4 units in 3 states will deploy later this year, the Army announced, with nearly half heading to the Middle East to take part in the fight against ISIS. About 450 soldiers from the 18th Airborne Corps headquarters based at Fort Bragg will deploy to Iraq this summer. About 400 members of the 10th Combat Aviation Brigade, 10th Mountain Division out of Fort Drum, will leave in April to Kuwait and Iraq. Roughly 700 soldiers with the 1st Armored Division Combat Aviation Brigade out of Fort Bliss will head to Europe in May to take part in multinational training. 400 soldiers with the 82nd Airborne Division from Fort Bragg will deploy to South Korea this summer. On Monday, the Army also announced 4,000 soldiers with the Fort Bliss-based 3rd Armored Brigade Combat Team will deploy to Kuwait this spring. Senator Patty Murray is proposing broad-sweeping changes to the Service Members Civil Relief Act. A proposal to limit interest rates on all troops' loans to 3% would offer unprecedented sweeping new benefits to service members if it became law. Senator Patty Murray of Washington introduced the SCRA Enhancement and Improvement Act of 2016 on Thursday, proposing stronger and more far-reaching financial legal protections under an amended Service Members Civil Relief Act. Under the SCRA, service members are supposed to receive a 6% interest rate cap on debts incurred before they enter active duty. That applies to loans service members took out either before they joined the military on active duty or before they are called to active duty as a Guard or Reserve member. The legislation proposed Thursday would require all loans to service members to be capped at a 3% interest rate, regardless of when the debt is incurred. For service members who are eligible for hostile fire pay or imminent danger pay, the interest rate would be zero. If this legislation becomes law, it could mean that service members could not be charged more than 3% for any loan, including mortgages and credit cards. The bill would also prohibit lenders from denying credit because of eligibility for SCRA protections, so service members wouldn't see any reduction in access to credit, and they would be protected from predatory and unfair practices. In addition, the legislation would require student loan servicers of federally guaranteed student loans to automatically apply the interest rate cap and provide timely responses to inquiries. The servicers would also be required to have a designated service representative or point of contact for service members and ensure that these staff are properly trained. If a service member dies in the line of duty, federal and private student loan debt would be forgiven. The proposed legislation includes some other expanded protections, including prohibiting prepayment penalties if a mortgage is paid off early for reasons related to a permanent change of station move. It would also allow service members to cancel contracts on cable TV and internet services in the event of permanent change of station moves. Currently, similar protections are offered for residential and auto leases and cell phone contracts. General Lori Robinson has been nominated to head NORTHCOM. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has nominated General Lori Robinson to be the next head of the U.S. Northern Command, the Pentagon said Friday morning. Robinson will be the first woman to ever head a combatant command, Pentagon Press Secretary Peter Cook said in a tweet announcing Robinson's nomination. Robinson is currently commander of Pacific Air Forces. She is a senior air battle manager with more than 900 flight hours. If confirmed by the Senate, she would replace Admiral Bill Gortney, who held the position since December 2014. With a PAC-F assignment, Robinson became the first U.S. female four-star to command combat forces. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Sherita Knobloch. Tonight, we are so privileged to have with us Kit Jenkins, girl mom and Army wife, and these are her words, not mine. I don't know if she's the wife of one crazy soldier or she's the former one crazy soldier, because Kit, before she was married, she was actually a U.S. Marine, and since she's separated from the service, she's now been studying psychology and the effects of how repeated separations and deployments can affect the family dynamic in families with young children.
3 years ago,
hello.
Kit and a friend, hello, I was just saying that 3 years ago, you and a friend co-founded the
Carrying On Project, a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to providing low-income military families with free quality baby carriers. And, in your words, when you're not frantically typing on a technological device, I can still relate, we're sitting up at 4 a.m. asking your husband ridiculous theoretical questions. I love that. You enjoy red wine and fine whiskey after dark, and endless amounts of chai tea with almond milk. We're very pleased to welcome you to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Well, Kit, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
I am calling from Chester, Virginia. My husband is currently stationed at Fort Lee. And I, as you stated, I'm actually the wife of a crazy soldier. The Marines do not associate ourselves with being soldiers. We've been married almost 7 years. Been an interesting journey.
Well, Kit, tell us a little bit more about this Carrying On project. I've seen you a little bit around Facebook, and Kit is actually one of our new experience bloggers with AWN, so all the paths are intersecting, and so I'm really excited to learn more about what she does in addition to the cool contributions with Army Wife Network. Tell us more, Kit.
So as you stated, the Carrying On Project is a 501c nonprofit, but what it started as was an idea in a coffee shop. While I was active duty, I was enlisted, so I know what it's like. I know what those paychecks look like. I'll just leave it at that. And when I got out and friends of mine that stayed in for longer started having kids, I wanted to give them baby carriers. And it started by me buying them myself. And then I was like, why doesn't everybody do this? This is awesome. And so as my husband left for his second deployment, since we've been married, he had had another one before that, I was sitting in a coffee shop with both of my kids and a friend. And I was like, so I've got this idea that I want to try. I want to try and provide free baby carriers to military families so that price isn't a factor in them deciding not to baby wear. What do you think? Does it sound dumb? And she goes, no, dude, I'm in. Let's do it. And so we did. We turned three next month, and in that time, we will have given out a little over 6,000 baby carriers to military families who, on average, have between 2 and 3 children. So that, you know, is helping out between 12 and 18,000 children, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. So for those who've never heard of it, what is baby wearing and what's it all about?
So baby wearing is the act of attaching a child to yourself with either a long piece of fabric or a carrier with buckles. And it's been around for a long, long time in many countries and cultures around the world, and everywhere that I've seen does it a little bit differently, but everyone is doing it to keep their children safe. And in our lifestyle, it helps a lot when parents are separated because there's often one adult that is left running the whole house. And sometimes that's themselves, sometimes that's one child. Some of the families we've talked to, that's 9 children. I cannot imagine keeping up with 9 children by myself. And baby wearing for the family member that's at home helps them get their hands back. It means that they can hold the child who's usually clingy after there's been a lifestyle interruption with a parent leaving for either a deployment or a training or a move. And then when the service member comes back, they can baby wear and help reacquaint themselves the child as they help reacquaint themselves with their role in the family lifestyle. And it's, for our family in particular, it was a great way for my husband to get to know his daughters after being gone when they were so young. And those months, you know, those first 2 years, every minute counts. They're growing so fast.
So Kit, what's the why behind this? Like, why did you decide to take the risk to venture out on this? You know, you mentioned, you know, you thought it was a good idea, it was a need, but what's the why behind there?
Because the real why is because when my first daughter was 10 days old, we were living on the opposite side of the country from family, and my husband was with an SF unit at the time, and they were like, hey, PS, you're deploying, bye. And I had to take him to the airport, and I got home to this thing that I barely knew myself that wanted to nurse all the time and poop all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was going to do. And I went to a baby wearing meeting, and these people helped me figure out how to use a carrier, and then my daughter and I could travel home to see family. I could nurse her and grocery shop at the same time. Heck, I could push the grocery cart and see over it. I'm really short, so the thought of putting a car seat on top of a cart, while in itself isn't necessarily safe to begin with, I couldn't see over it. Like, that wasn't an option for me. And so that just baby wearing opened up a whole bunch of doors for us, and I wanted to be able to open up those doors for other families.
Right. That totally makes sense. I remember when my daughter was born, like, my husband didn't deploy, but he was a drill sergeant at the time. So they were like, here's your 10 days, sort of-ish, from the moment you were induced in the hospital, and now you're back to work, which is fine. I'm really grateful for the 10 days we got, but then I was in Georgia, and I made the mistake of not having, like, legit community to rally mm-hmm. and teach me how to be a mother. And so it was like deer in the headlights, and I was like, what? How do I go to the bathroom? How do I cook supper?
Exactly.
I don't know how to go to Sam's Club. Like, what do I do with my hands? They're full of a baby. So I did a lot of baby wearing, too, and I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. That's really cool.
Of course.
Now, Kit, has the Carrying On Project caught on? How many have you given away since you started the Carrying On Project?
We have given away just over 6,000 baby carriers.
Oh, awesome.
Most of those have been through our application process, which is on our website. But we also have been very lucky to partner with Operation Homefront. And so they have us at a lot of their Star Spangled Baby Showers, and we're able often to hand out carriers to all of the attending new or expecting moms. And that has been a super cool experience. It's one thing to know that somebody on the other side is getting it, but it's another thing to hand it to them and just see the look on their face when they realize that they're going to get one.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine myself there, and it probably would have been dangerous as a new mother to receive it, because I probably just would have been a hot mess and just cried like a blubbering crazy person to be like, thank you so much, it's beautiful.
But a lot of people cry.
Yeah, it would not be good. Too much emotion. But that's really cool. So I have kind of a couple questions with that. First of all, what's the criteria for the applicants? And secondly, how do you afford that? Do you have, like, sponsors? Do you have people donate? Or is this just, like, your jam and this is how this works? Tell me more.
So, yes, technically this is my jam. This is what I do. We do have a lot of companies that work with us, both large ones such as Ergo, Becco, Lilla Baby, some of the people that are considered the big hitters in the baby wearing world. But we've also been really lucky to work with some smaller businesses, especially ones that are run by other military spouses or run by people who have had military family members. And it's one carrier at a time is really, really how it happens. And as far as criteria, at the heart of it, we ask that you are a military family in need that could not afford a carrier without undue financial stress. What we usually look for is a family that has a service member who is an E4 or below. Often they are active duty. They do not always have to be active duty. We work with reservist families. We work with veterans. We work with wounded warriors. Usually the people that apply have had a child or are expecting their first one and know that their spouse is deploying, or they've had two children really close together, which, I mean, we all know that a deployment baby happens, and they look up and they're like, my husband is gone again, and I have two children under 18 months, and, you know, with one kid I thought I had it, now what do I do? And we try really hard to get people that are accepted a carrier within 3 weeks of reviewing applications. So on average, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks from the time you fill out an application to the time that you have your carrier in hand. The families that apply while they're still expecting will get a carrier usually within 2 weeks of their due date. And all of the entire process for these families is completely free. They do not pay shipping. They do not have to send the carrier back. It is not a loaner program. It doesn't have our name written all over it so that somebody knows that they got a free one from us. These are the same carriers that you could find on the market, in the aisle, in Target, something. My goal is not to have people feel stigmatized for getting help, but for them to be able to handle their life a little bit easier.
Wow, that's neat. Now, also part of the Caring On Project is the Playdate Initiative, correct? Tell us a little bit about that.
The Playdate Initiative is my favorite. And that says a lot, considering that I get to make family smile all the time. Last summer, my partner and I got to talking, and I had PCS'd. And thankfully, I PCS'd back to where I went to high school. Fort Lee is about an hour away from my original high school. A lot of my friends are still here. So I was able to roll right into my favorite community. But thinking back to when I was in Colorado and then when I went to D.C. and when we were in New York City, I didn't know anybody. And especially when you're a new mom, that's horrifying. There is nobody to hold your baby while you shower or to pat your back while you cry. And sometimes as a new mom, you do a lot of that. So my goal with the Playdate Initiative was to create micro communities, essentially, and have people be able to find other people that are in the same place in life that they are. And our playdates are, we have 30 playdates right now around the world at different bases. And they are all hosted, currently they're all hosted by women. That's not a deciding factor. But they are all hosted by women who have either been service members, are active, are married to someone who's active duty, are a reservist, or have previously been active duty or a military spouse. So these are all people that kind of understand where we're coming from. And we try to create – go ahead.
I was going to ask, how would someone get involved with that?
So if they wanted to go to a playdate, we post the events on our website. There is a calendar page tabbed with events that keeps all of the playdates on it. We post about them on our Facebook page and try to share them on Twitter. And several of our playdates also have their own Facebook page so that people can chatter between events. And we've had a couple families that's how they, you know, that was what they found when they first PCS'd, either because they had been following our page from before or they just happened upon a flyer or a tweet. And we had one family in Wichita that they had been living there for 18 months and the mom hadn't met anybody. She didn't know what to do. She was very overwhelmed. And she met our party rocker like in the commissary. And she came and she essentially left with a best friend. And when my party rocker came back and told me that, I cried because I cry a lot. I was so excited that my goal was working, and it's hard for people to put themselves out there and to, you know, be like, hey, I'm new. I promise I'm cool. You should be my friend. But when you can bring them together in a group setting, and especially if they have kids that are around the same age as other kids at the playdate, having your kid break the ice for you is kind of rad. I mean, and then you know that you have something in common with them already.
Oh, what a neat way to connect with other people, other moms that's kind of coming from the same walk of life. You know, it's hard. It's kind of lonely when you're in the military and moving around all the time, and it's hard to make those connections. But when you can provide a place where they can go, where they can bring their kids and not have to find a babysitter, and I just think that's a neat way to connect and make friends. And then you have the pages on Facebook so they can even stay connected, it sounds like, once they PCS somewhere else. So,
yep.
Well, Kit, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the different kind of carriers and what else you've got going on in your life right now.
Okay.
And don't forget the AWN core team has some fun discussion taking place in our Twitter chat tonight. You can find that at twitter.com/ArmyWife Network using hashtag ArmyWife to participate. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
You're hired. Those words are music to any recent graduate's ears, and they're familiar words for CareerStep alumni. 84% of CareerStep graduates land jobs right out of school. Start working in an in-demand field like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing in as little as 3 months, taking online classes whenever and wherever is best for you. CareerStep nurtures relationships with its network of more than 900 employers, and many of them prefer CareerStep alumni. Let CareerStep help you take the next step toward a rewarding new career. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Does your family suffer from March Madness? Around here, everybody seems to. I live in North Carolina, and North Carolina is basketball crazy. But what I find in most of the households is that there are divided loyalties. My friends Tom and Lisa, he went to UNC and she went to NC State. My friends Mark and Debbie, he went to Duke. She went to UNC too. My bride went to Duke. But I graduated from a school called Excelsior. We don't have a basketball team. So no divided loyalties around here. At least until we have to pick the basketball pool. I don't always pick Duke. Where else do you find divided loyalties in your marriage? Probably with your family? Probably with your employers. They probably have different goals than yours sometimes. What about your financial goals? What about politics? What about religion? There's lots of places to create divided loyalties and stress in your relationship. How do we deal with it? We deal with it in three ways. Number one, we talk about it and we've come to common goals. Number two, we give each other the benefit of the doubt. And number three, in our marriage, we use the tools of grace, kindness, and love. And we make sure we focus on that. It helps us disagree without being disagreeable. Use these three tools in your marriage. Your spouse will be better for it. Your kids will be better for it. Your family will be better for it. And you'll have a better marriage. This is Certified Relationship Coach Kevin Decker. Thank you for listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network. If you need help with your marriage, feel free to contact me, Kevin@KevinDecker. Send me a message. We'll figure out how to help you.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Kit Jenkins, co-founder of the Carrying On Project, a nonprofit dedicated to providing low-income military families with free quality baby carriers. Kit, before we went to break, you explained about the Carrying On Project and what the Playdate Initiative is.
And so now we want to talk a little bit more with you. And I'm curious, since I did a little bit of baby wearing, I wasn't like forever hardcore, but I really admire those moms that are and kind of motivates me for next time. What's your personal favorite kind of carrier?
I love woven wraps, which sounds ridiculous because they are often the one with the biggest learning curve. And when I went to that first baby wearing meeting, one of the hosts looked at me, and I'm short and I have a really short torso, and she was like, try this. It looks really intimidating, but it's going to give you the most options. And she was right. And that child will be 6 in a few months. And that is still what I'm using with her little sister. And you know what? Sometimes when she has a bad day, sometimes with her too.
That's super cool. Is that kind of like the Moby wrap?
It is similar to Moby Wrap, except that you can't use it. You can't use a Moby Wrap on your back. And one of my favorite things about a woven wrap is that because of the type of fabric it is, you can use it on your back, which made a whole new world of difference for me.
Right. I feel like there's a big learning curve for me too, because we got a Moby Wrap for our baby shower when my tiny human, before she was like birthed. And then we also just randomly got a baby Bjorn at, not a new one, because, no, we're enlisted too. So we got one at the thrift store. So we're like, yeah, whatever, our friends have it. I needed like a class or something because I couldn't handle the Moby wrap. Like it stressed me out. I couldn't figure it out. I needed someone to teach me. And so we did the Baby Bjorn, but I was talking with my friend Carly the other day because she's getting ready to bring forth her second tiny human in just a few weeks. And we both said, you know, next round, next kid, like, you know, we have most of our stuff left over from the first one, but we would love to, like, pick something intentionally that we maybe invest in a little bit. And both of us agreed that the baby wearing thing, just because we'll have other kids at that point, and we need to be more mobile than with our first kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of us were really like, hey, let's invest in, let's find a really good wrap that we can like haul these little people around much easier with less stress so I can cook supper and go for a walk and all the things. So I was just curious.
Definitely.
Cause I'm taking notes for, you know, future reference later down the line. So just curious.
My favorite for a small baby, Mobys are great. The people that work at Moby are fantastic, by the way. My favorite for small babies are ring slings because it's minimal fuss, it's minimal fabric, and you can just kind of like pop it on and go. Just something
cool
to store for your next human.
Good to know. Writing it down. Got it.
Is there an age that you would say would be too old? About when would you recommend that maybe they should stop wearing the baby carrier, or do you just kind of let the child decide?
I look at baby wearing like I look at breastfeeding, and it has to be a mutually beneficial arrangement. If it's not working for one of you, you might want to consider looking into something else. I mean, especially with toddlers, everybody, once they learn to walk, goes on a, you know, I want to walk. I want to do this. I don't want to be up. I don't want to be a stroller. I'm super busy. And that's, you know, that's something that the parents have to decide if they want to continue on after that or not. There are carriers for up to preschool and kindergarten size. A lot of those that when we give those out are actually to families that are either they have adopted a child or they have a child with special needs. And for a lot of families, you know, putting your child in a baby carrier is a lot easier than pushing a wheelchair. And while every tool has its place, it's not something I would automatically discount because your child is already three or because you've never tried it before. It depends on what works for every family.
Right. Now, I'm glad you brought that up about, for instance, I have two biological children that were adopted. And I don't remember which ones are which, but that's a good predicament. But anyway, with my oldest child, she would not have had anything to do with being in a baby carrier. But with my youngest adopted child, he, I believe, would have stayed in forever. So you can let me know that he's just a cuddler. And so I would carry him around now. I think at about two would have been where my back would have given out. But I like that you mentioned that it's a great way to bond with your adopted children. Have you noticed that parents perhaps when a father that's been deployed or even a mother that's been deployed has come back, have you found that they've used these to help bond with their children?
Definitely. And especially when, so for us, like the first time my husband deployed after we got married, my daughter was really little. Yeah. You know, she probably noticed that there was another human in the house before he left, but he came back when she was about 7 months old. So they were kind of able to pick up where they left off. With my second daughter, he left when she was about 6 months old. And so she was starting to you know, get to kind of recognize other people, recognize voices, that kind of thing, but didn't know him as a heartbeat or a heat source because he was gone. So it was interesting when he came back that was kind of how she recognized her dad, was that he was, you know, he was the voice that she'd heard come from the computer, but now she had a person to match that voice with. And it gave them a lot of catching up that I think would have been a lot harder otherwise. And for my older daughter, who was about 2.5 when he left, and generally didn't go on my back too much, was too cool for school, when he met us at, he met us in Europe, actually, because I was teaching at a conference. And the first thing she did when she saw her daddy after giving him a big hug was she asked to go up. Because that was what she remembered doing with her dad before he left.
Oh, how sweet.
And he was so adorable because I had brought all of our clothes and I was like, all right, you bring the other car seat, we're good to go. He texted me from the airport and was like, by the way, I grabbed two other carriers that I really liked because I couldn't remember how big they were, but I wanted to make sure I had something. And I wanted to be like, really? Like, I wouldn't pack 8 carriers or some crazy business? Come on. But just the thought that not only the children associated that bonding with baby wearing, but that my husband did too, was very powerful to me.
That is amazing. Yeah, I noticed that, you know, back in my day when I had little ones, it's been a little while, but they said, oh, if you hold them too much, you'll spoil them. But the amazing thing is my 2 youngest were adopted as babies, and mm-hmm. I held them as much as I possibly could. And they are probably the most compassionate, loving kids. They're able to give that love back, and they're not spoiled. And I don't think you can, I really don't think you can hold a baby too much. That's my personal opinion. And that's what I love about the baby carrying, wearing, or baby wearing, catching on, is because I think that it is nurturing and it's for the baby. There's benefits for the parents and benefits for the baby. So I really love that you're making these available. It touches my heart. So do you have a favorite part of working with the Carrying On Project?
My favorite part is, okay, so this most stressful part is trying to pick a carrier. For people, we, on our application, we're like, all right, so what do you think you'd like? What have you tried? What have you done? But my favorite part is when someone has gotten a carrier from us, and it's perfect. Like, they send us a picture. We get voicemails. We get videos. We get pictures. We see people. Like, especially when I work events closer to home, people see me out and about. And they're like, this was amazing. You nailed it. And that for me, usurps every bad day, every frustration about trying to figure out where the money is going to come from or where the carriers are going to come from. Because seeing those people loving wearing their children and doing it comfortably and it not being a hassle, it being a tool, is definitely my favorite part.
Well, Kit, you're giving me, like, the feel-goods. I got goosebumps and stuff and all gushy inside. I'm going to have to go borrow somebody's baby and snuggle for a while. This is great.
I can't wait for my grandbaby to cuddle. It's time to cuddle.
Yes, wear the grandbabies. My mom loves it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Great idea. That's good. Well, Kit, I'm curious, what are your next few upcoming events and where are they at?
So we have gotten really lucky that my party rockers, what's what I call my event hosts, because they are essentially a party in a box. And our next few happen to be in Valparaiso, which I may have fractured that name. Sorry, y'all in the Midwest. She's outside of the Chicago area recruiting station. And then we've got one in Fort Irwin on the 31st. We have the one that I'm really looking forward to is that in D.C., April 17th, Rachel's my co-founder and the bees to my knees. I definitely couldn't have done this alone, even if I wanted to. And we are hosting our 3rd birthday party outside of D.C. in Fairfax. And there's going to be cake, there's going to be decorations, there's going to be games and parties and raffles and prizes. And birthday parties are my favorite. And then after that, we have leaning into Month of the Military Child, of course, in April. We've got stuff in Dallas-Fort Worth. We've got stuff in Fort Drum. We've got stuff at Fort Riley. We're all over the place. It's kind of awesome. And if people are interested in catching any of those that I said, because I know I talked really fast, they are on our, they're coming up on our calendar, they're coming up on our Facebook page. And if you're anywhere near one of those places, you should come. My party rockers are pretty cool.
Well, speaking of partying, what other kind of life parties do you do when, you know, because I'm sure you have tons of spare time floating around. What do you do when you're not working on the Carrying On project?
So, in addition to working on the Carrying On project, I am a full-time student finishing up my psychology degree. I am a contractor for a couple baby-wearing companies because, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment, and I love to, when I'm not doing PCOP, I love to travel places and help represent brands and help them figure out how to better use their carriers, and I like to volunteer with Baby Wearing International. I'm a MBE, so a Master Baby Wearing Educator with them, which means that I don't only help people baby wear, I help train the people who help other people baby wear. Some of the only things that I do that don't involve baby wearing is that I have a minor shoe shopping addiction, and I like to cook, and my husband and I like to hike, which has been one of the best parts about when we lived in Colorado, was we lived right near Garden of the Gods, and I have loved living all different places and being able to explore and travel them.
Well, and you do that so well because you wear your babies. There you go. It's all connected.
That's
right.
Circle, exactly.
Circle of baby wearing life right there.
Exactly.
So, Kate, what is the best way for people to help support TCOP, and where can our listeners go to find out more?
The best place to find out more is probably to start on our website, carryingonproject.org. If you want to catch up with us more on a day-to-day basis, our Facebook page is pretty open. If you are interested in finding branded merchandise, baby carriers, or making a donation, we have shoptcop.org, and we've got T-shirts, we've got coffee mugs, we've got all kinds of fun stuff. And if you are someone who thinks that you want to be involved, dropping us a message on Facebook or dropping us an email to carryingonproject@gmail.com. We love volunteers. We love working with people who know what their skill sets are and are like, hey, I don't know what you need, but I'm really good at this, and I want to make it work. We can almost always find a way for someone who wants to help to get them involved.
Awesome. Well, Kit, thanks so much for being with us tonight. We appreciate you taking
you
time
for having
out of
me.
The evening to join us, and this was awesome. Very informative, too. I hope that people get involved and that you're able to reach more families with the carriers. So this is a great project.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy what I do.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too.
And join us next week, March 28, 2016. On the show, we're featuring John Coogan of Folded Flag Foundation. So you won't want to miss this.
In the meantime, you can join us on www.armywifenetwork.com. to stay connected to resources, information, and you can also share the journey with many of our experienced contributors or just follow along any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wife by Army Wife. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.